along here this afternoon that you'll see some of the concepts that Dr. Poole has already talked about. There'll be some of the things that I will touch on. I don't want anybody to accuse me of being an economist, but I'm going to lean a little bit more toward that in my presentation. But, you know, as we said, what we want to do is try to put more dollars into the pocket of our producers out there, and you know, there's a lot of different things that has got to fit into that in order to get that particular job done for us. You know, we as we were looking at our operations and you know what kind of reputation we have for some of our southeastern cattle, and hopefully we can change some of that with some of our preconditioning programs and so forth. But I think what we find from some of these buyers is, you know, I like these preconditioned cattle. I don't have the health problems. They can stand all the movement on to the backgrounding lots, on out into wheat pastures or wherever. But then what is the next thing that happens? Well, can I get a premium for these cattle? And this is something that always just kind of rubs me just a little bit when I hear that word premium. And I've just about concluded that there's no such thing as a premium in the cattle business. What we're doing is getting the true value, and we do everything we possibly can of these cattle. Anything, you know, if we don't wean, we don't take care of the health programs, we're actually just getting less for the product that we've got. We're not getting that full value. So, like I say, that's a little pet peeve that I have, and I'll probably, you know, kind of allude to this as we go on here in a little while. But again, you know, we've got to make this thing pay for it to be an operation that's going to work for everybody. And, you know, what we have is kind of a jockeying here, you know, from the marketing folks, the folks who are going to be buying these calves with the producers. You know, can we make all of this work? And it's always going to be an issue, but what we've got to do is try to get everything meshed together to where it's going to be beneficial for everybody concerned. There's got to be a financial incentive available for both parties. And I think, you know, with the type of product that we're trying to produce, that we can make both groups have an advantage in the overall program. You know, these preconditioned cattle, as Dr. Poole has already said, should be worth more of these cattle because they're not going to be getting sick. They're not going to be dying. That's not saying that there may not be some problems, and we'll have a panel here in a little while that will allude to some of the things that we can get into. But again, we're hoping that we're going to get away from some of these potential problems with these cattle. So what we want to do is try to get these cattle in a package, have the kind of cattle that will be producing a package that will give us that extra value as we go along. Here in Tennessee, and I think in the whole Southeast, we get into a lot of dilemma with producers saying, well, you know, hey, it's probably a good idea, but I'm not going to participate. You know, those wean calves, they're not going to grow as fast as if I left them on the cow. It's going to cost me a lot more money. So we've got to overcome some of those things. They're not going to gain enough to cover the cost. It's been alluded to earlier, and I'll touch on this a little more as we go along. The other thing is, well, it's going to require a lot more expense on my part for the facilities and the labor in getting this done. But really, you know, if we look at it as a long-term project, I think all these things can definitely be overcome in the operation. You know, are these comments for not getting these cattle ready to go on through that marketing channel legitimate? You know, and I think that's something that, you know, all producers are going to have to look at. But I think overall that we can say, yeah, we can justify going through this preconditioning program and make it work. That'll start out at this point and just give you the results of a trial that we conducted at the Highland Ram Experiment Station here at the University of Tennessee. That station's located about an hour's drive north of where we are right now to give you some idea of where we are. And what we did was simply compare the calves if they were left on the cow, or we took the calves off the cow, put them into a feedlot situation or a dry lot situation, and then we started looking, well, what kind of gains were we going to have and what's it going to cost us and so forth. The wean calves, they were put on a good quality hay and basically fed at 1% of their body weight during that particular time period. Those Wayne Carries did go through a health program. They got a 7-way class radio. Their bovine respiratory vaccines was used. We did deworm the carries, and they were implanted so that we could, take advantage of all of those aspects of the preconditioning program that we would need. The numbers that you can see here, we started out at roughly the same beginning weights. We did have both steers and heifers in there, and we were in the vicinity of 450 pounds. And you'll see I've got the comparisons. But what I want you to look at with these numbers down here at the bottom, by doing the preconditioning, putting them in that dry lot, the heifers gained approximately 26 pounds more, those that were weaned, versus 57 on the steers. So we were getting some additional gains over and above what those calves would have gained had they stayed just out there on their mothers. All right, let's look here just very briefly at the gains, and I know there's a lot of numbers here, but I think what I want you to pick up here is that, when we are going into a preconditioning program, we wean these calves and put them in a dry lot situation. They're not just going to go in there, stick their head in the feed bunk, and we're going to get a constant gain all the way through. If you'll notice, let's just look at the heifers in particular. Those weaned calves started out at 2.2, 1.8, 1.86, and then, boy, they caught fire during that last part of the period. So I think you can see, there's some ups and downs here in the gains, and I think this is going to be real typical of what you would see if you were doing a weaning program there on your particular farm. But overall, the heifers that were weaned gained a 217, the steers at 2.6, and you can see that was quite a bit above what we were getting out of those calves that were still staying there on their mothers. So we were getting the gains, and I think that is one important thing that we look at. The next thing is, well, what did it cost us to do it? Well, we did this a couple of years ago, and it was one of those times when we weren't blessed with near as much rain as we've had for this last year. So we had to give a little bit of extra hay to those mamas out there on the pasture during this weaning period. So we threw those costs in there, too. So we ended up with about a $13 additional cost on those calves that were still on the cows, and that was simply because we ran out of pasture. We wouldn't have had that otherwise if we'd had the rain. But if you'll see here, the total cost that we ended up with for the weaned calves was about $37. The extra cost that we had for those calves we just left on their mothers, and that was, as I said, because of the shortage of feed that we had out there. So you see, we ended up in this particular year about $24 difference in the amount of cost that we had between the calves that stayed on their mama and the ones that we had into that feedlot type situation. So we said, yes, it can work. We were just estimating those costs, in terms of or if you want to estimate those costs, it's what those calves would actually be worth. We were kind of on the touchy side, if we had sold those calves at that time, would they have that $24 extra been enough to cover all those extra costs? But that was 1 year. But the point is, we can get them off. They will gain more than what they would have if they stayed on the mother. We can get it done relatively economically. Of course, the thing that we find so many times in the university community, say, you've got all those resources at the experiment station. Now, will it work out there on the farm? Well, what's the situation going to be? So we carried that a little bit further. We had some weaning demonstrations over in the eastern part of the state in five different counties. Kind of give you an idea, we're here in the Nashville area. The star over here is in red is where the market was that we had for these calves and the location of one of the trials. Give you an idea of what we did with the on-farm demonstrations. Of course, they were weaned, they were dewormed, and they were vaccinated. And at that point, we established a value for those calves so that we could put some economics to the overall program. And then, of course, the calves were sold through an organized feeder calf sale at the end of the demonstration period. The vaccination program is very similar to those that I feel sure that many of you would be using if you were in a preconditioning program, taking care of the clostridials, taking care of your back leg there, as well as your pastorella. What we're looking at here are just some cattle that I think would be very typical of what you would find here in Tennessee, or somewhere else here in the southeast. You know, these are not just super kind of cattle, but they're good doing kind of cattle that would work for the next person on up the line. We fed them at approximately 1% of body weight, and it was for 45 plus days in these demonstrations. Because of individual farm situations, we did vary the days just a little bit. But I think the thing that we have found with the research work and demonstration work here in the state, Matt alluded to it earlier, that thing of a 30-day preconditioning period just doesn't cut it. We need to get that stretched on out to about a 45, because that last few days is when we're going to should be getting some excellent gains and helping to pay for those additional costs that we are incurring. So, as I said, we estimate the value at the beginning and also at the end of the demonstrations. Just a look at the performance of the cattle. As you see, we were in five different locations, five different counties. The number of days ranged from 45 up to about 60 days. You see, we do have a little variation in the overall initial weight of the cattle, but we start looking at the total gain during that time period, went anywhere from 96 up to a high of 177, and you'll notice that we did have some differences in gain. And as I said, we were feeding these cattle about 1% of the body weight using a commercially available feed that we work with Tennessee Farmers Co-op here in the state in the feeding program. And, you know, that 1% can go a long ways, but the other part of it goes back to what kind of forage have you got to go along with that, because, you know, we're not getting all the groceries out of that feed sack. And so you'll notice that we did have some differences. But, hey, I think we can all live with those kind of gains. And this is on-farm type situations. So we could see that the cattle were going to be gaining enough, you know, in that post-weaning program to pay for that feed and that health program. The cattle were marketed through an organized feeder cash sale. And we'll give you some values here, showing you what actually happened from an economic standpoint. And I think it's been indicated previously, this is where the rubber meets the road. Does it pay or does it not? You see here that here with the difference in the value of those cows from the beginning, which was August the 2nd, up to the date of the cow sale, which is September the 6th, and we averaged increasing the value of those cows from $88 up to a high of $133. You notice we did have some variations in the cost of the program, going from a low of about 43 up to about 63. Because of the amount of feed that the calves actually did eat. Like I said, we were shooting at 1% of body weight. There were some differences in the weight of the cattle and also the amount that they actually did consume. But I think here are the numbers that you really want to take a lot closer look at. You know, how much extra money did we have after we paid for the health cost and that additional feed? You see, we were going from 25 on up to a high of about $70, that net added value. So, again, these demonstrations said, yeah, we can make it work. Now, you know, we, in looking at these demonstrations and some of the other trials that we've had going on at some of the stations here at the University of Tennessee, we notice that we really have to watch very closely in these programs that we don't get too much flesh on those cattle and end up decreasing the value of those calves. And that's one big caution I would throw out to you if you've got calves in a preconditioning program, is if you do want that additional gain put on those calves, but you do not want to get them too fleshy, because you get a double whammy. You've got that increased feed cost, and then you end up with a decrease in the value of those calves also. Just another shot of some of those cattle that that we had there. But here's where I think we've really got to take a closer look, and Matt touched on this a little bit earlier, you know, is just getting these calves preconditioned enough. And it's not. We've got to go that extra step. You know, we've got to merchandise these cattle. And you notice I did not say we've got to sell these cattle. We've got to get these cattle positioned to where we can get the true value out of them if we're going to expect this part of our operation to be profitable. I'm going to throw a lot of charts up here with a lot of numbers. You'll kind of pardon me for the number of numbers, but what I want to do is to let you see that we are getting some additional value out of these cattle by a cooperative marketing program. And what we are looking at here in this particular sale, they were going through the Smoky Mountain Feeder Calf Association, which is a long-standing feeder calf association in that area in East Tennessee that we were talking about. Those folks have had an excellent sale. They've received top dollar for their cattle over the years. But they 2 years ago, they said, hey, you know, we've done okay, but we haven't done great. We've got to step up the plate and carry it one step farther. So they worked with one of the animal health companies and with a very good sale barn over in that area. And all of the cattle that went through the sale in this particular one, which was in September, both in 2001 and 2002, were preconditioned cattle. They had been on a post-weaning program at least 45 days, had all the shots. So we had some cattle that were ready to go. Looking at the medium and large frame steers, this was in year 2000. You see here that the additional value compared to what calves sold for in our weekly auctions, same week as his feeder calf sale, we went with the medium and large frame number one steers, went from about 643 up to a high of 1332 more per hundred than, as I say, than what we got out of the calves through a local auction. So when you attach that to the weight of those calves, you'll see here that and with that particular type cattle, we were going from 35 up to a high of about 87 additional dollars for those calves, as I say, compared to what somebody would have by just taking them to the market. Looking at heifers, that price premium anywhere from 24 up to about $31. And like I say, this was in 2001, and this was your number one cattle. Just to give you another look here, looking at the number two grade cattle, range from 36 up to 96. Looking at the number two heifers from 22 up to about $70 additional dollars received. And you notice I'm not using the word premium. That we're getting the full value out of these cattle compared to the deductions that folks were getting at the local auction barns during that week. Look at 2002. We see a very similar situation. These were the M1 steers. You notice that we didn't maybe get quite as high, but still we're looking at some additional dollars there that those producers would not have received otherwise. Looking at heifers, we were in that $30 to $40 range. We look at the number two steers and heifers, and again, we're seeing that there's some extra dollars that that have come along by going through that program. All right? You know, what they were doing, good idea. We see that it brought some extra dollars.
What's the breaking point on waiving those cattle when you want to move them before they get too fat?
Well, I don't know that we're looking at an exact weight, but we're looking at the amount of flesh that we have on that calf. You know, if you get a calf that starts to pone up a little bit, maybe you get a little bit extra on that brisket, you know that that calf is going to melt when he gets out there on that trough and gets out into to a wheat pasture or whatever. Hey, that producer that's buying that calf is not going to be willing to pay as much because they know that weight is going to be going down. So there's not an exact weight. I think that goes back to some of the things we learned in school. You know, the eye of the master feeds his cattle. And, boy, this is never any more true than, Sam, than right here where we're talking about. We just can't put too much flesh on them. To say, is there some way other than what we've already talked about to get a little additional value out of these cattle? And my answer to that, yes, there definitely is. In this particular sale during 2000, there were three groups of cattle that not only went through the preconditioning program, everything that we talked about up to this point, but we came in there with some known genetics, some very similar kind of bulls. As a matter of fact, the folks that were selling these cattle sent the registration numbers and all of that information along with the cattle, so that, you know, it was not only, quote, known genetics, but they could trace it all the way back to the sires. And as you can see, that that did turn out to where it was some extra dollars for those cattle compared to just the other cattle that we were looking at that were going through the preconditioned sale. So you can see that comparison. So, hey, there is another way to add some extra dollars in there more than just strictly preconditioning. You know, if you're buying calves, you don't know everything you possibly can about them. You know what that genetics is? That's going to help out a whole lot. So, you know, what we're doing is building a reputation, and if we've got that known genetics, that is definitely going to help out with that reputation. Well, I guess the next question that we need to ask ourselves, and looking at a progression of trying to get to a position where we can get every dollar that we possibly can out of these calves, can we carry it one step farther? And we've had some folks here in the state, and Matt alluded to some earlier, that we can get outside of a feeder calf sale setting and still end up with a situation where we can get some additional value. Talk here just a minute about the Giles County Beef Alliance. I noticed we have several individuals that are part of that alliance here today. Just to give you a little idea of where they are, we're here in Nashville, and so we're just a little over an hour due south is the center point for this Beef Alliance. It started about they merchandised the first group of cattle about 3 years ago with a very limited number of producers actually producing calves that went into the marketing program. And, you know, this group has said, all right, we are going to get these cattle just as uniform as we can. We're working with Tennessee livestock producers in a bull leasing program, so that we're looking at very similar type genetics for all these calves. And so here are the figures for 2001. I didn't have the sale figures for 2002. But if you look here, and we're comparing this to Tennessee livestock auction markets for the same week that these cattle were sold. And as you will see here, we were getting an additional value per hundred out of these cattle. And, of course, that is relating back to some additional dollars. Now, you notice this one particular one right here, that you know, we ranged anywhere from an additional 63 to a minus 30. Say, hey, we're talking about an alliance, we've preconditioned, we've done all these things, we should be getting some added value. What happened? Folks, you can precondition a goat and he's probably worth a little more. But precondition a sorry calf, and what have you got? You've got a preconditioned sorry calf. And we run into some cattle that weren't quite right. So, you know, if your cattle don't have the genetics and the potential and the right kind, and I'm not going to tell you what that is, then I'm not sure that I know. But if we have, quote, the right kind of cattle and we do what needs to be done to them, they're going to be worth something extra. But, hey, when you start looking here that where you're getting, you know, $50, $75, maybe even $100 more by everybody getting together, you know, same health program, and these were sold through a video, organized video sale that's been going on for a number of years. Hey, these folks are developing a reputation. So they started out with like five producers that sold through the alliance the first year. I think there's about 25 to 30 this past year. The number of cattle are going up. It's paying. So you can carry it, you know, that additional step and get some extra value. Are you going to get an extra premium for those calves? Let's kind of look out in the future. You say, my gosh, this is a calf meeting. What are you doing with these pigs up here? I think this will illustrate a point to you that we need to kind of keep in the back of our mind. We're so oriented to that extra premium, that extra dollar that we're going to get. How many of you remember back, and I can't tell you the exact year, when they said, you know, the only way we're going to be able to market these calves, these pigs, Fred, is that we got to dock the tails on them. What did producers say? I'm not going to cut the tails off those pigs. It doesn't make any difference. I can sell them anyway. They got the word out, you know, several months ahead of time. When October 1 of that year came up and they said, you know, they're going to have the tails cut off. What happened to those folks that came to the barn with those pigs that had tails on them? Boy, they had more than they could eat. No place to go. So we always going to get a premium for our cattle. Hey, 5-10 years down the road, this may be the standard, that this is what we have to do to have a market for the cattle. I don't know. I do not have a crystal ball. But the one thing I do know is that this is something that we need to be doing, because it, one, it's right. One, we can make it pay. But it's so important that we, if nothing else, stay ahead of the curve with what's going to be coming along. And we're going to have to be having more and more of these cattle that fit into this. Frankly, I'm sick and tired of some of you folks, and I'm stepping on your toes here now, to say those darn southern cattle are no good. Hey, our cattle are all right. Yeah, we have a lot of them get sick, but we've got a way to get around that, and we can get some loads together that's going to work. So, will there be a premium? I'm not going to tell you that there's some extra value in these cattle. But one thing I do feel very confident about, there will be a market. And this could be the most important thing that we look at down the road. That by doing these things that need to be done, that we are in a position to merchandise the cattle. Those individuals with the most desirable product are going to get the greatest returns. This is where you tie in all the genetics, the health, you get everything working just right. And what we've done is gone through a progression. You know, will it work? Then, you know, can we get some additional value out of these cattle, which, you know, we pretty well said that's going to work. So can we capture the added value on these cattle? I don't think there's any question about it. We can. But we can't just sit back and expect it to happen. Hey, we've got to give up a little bit of our independence to make it work. And we've got some folks that will come here in just a minute on the panel that will allude to some of these things and some of the problems that they've had. Any questions? I know we've got...
You look for feeding versus feeding the calves off their mothers. You look for feeding the calves and leaving them on the
mothers. We did not do that in this particular trial. That's something that we probably need to take a much closer look at.
You got feelings about how that would work?
Yeah. Hopefully we can get that included into our program as we go along. Other questions?
Is there a better pasture for these cattle
than
Fescue?
Well, I think here in the Southeast, we're just pretty well caught, you know, with that. I know we've got some folks who use some small grain pastures, and that works quite well. I think one of the big issues that we have, whether it be Fescue or whatever, is that we keep these pastures in a young vegetative state. We let them get up there real mature. The quality is not there, and then we, for some miracle, think that the cattle are going to gain real well. They're not. It's just not going to happen. Tell you, I'll take some more questions in a few minutes, but let me get these folks on the panel, because I know some of them have some other places that they have to be in just a few minutes. Mr. Dave Huggett from over at Sweetwater, Tennessee, representing the Smoky Mountain Feeder Calves here. Dave, would you come up here? He's also current president of the Tennessee Cattlemen Association. He's worked very closely with that sale over there. Mr. Tom Merritt, who's president of the Giles County Beef Alliance. Mr. James Dennis Taylor, who's worked very closely with those folks. He's extension director down in Giles County. You three folks would come up here. I think there's some comments that they can make that will help kind of put in perspective some of the things that we've talked about, some of the problems, and some of the real benefits that we have.